that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply.
Let us pray. Once again, Father, we come with thanksgiving and praise and glory to your lovely name. We thank you for this day, a beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for the health and strength you give us. We thank you for bringing Brother Benjamin safely to Doho on his trip, Lord, knowing he's still he's getting close to home now. And may you bless him, Lord, and guide him and keep him. And Lord, for each one here this morning, that you would just speak to every heart, lead us and guide us, Lord, and give us revelation, Father. We ask of all things, we ask for revelation, Lord. Lord, that you would continue to guide us by thy Spirit and feed us of thy word as we thank you and praise you. As you know every heart and every need, so we commit all to you now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. So good to see you. We greet you in the name of the Lord. And we had not heard from Brother Benjamin until just this morning. And so we're glad that he's made it there safely. And that's a long flight. I dread those. And matter of fact, I avoid them at all cost. If I can get 2 8-hour flights versus a 15-hour flight, I will always do it. So, matter of fact, I don't even like anything over 8 hours. Those 12-hour flights, they're just really... You're pressurized for too long. It's not good for your body. And the older you get, the wimpier you get. So you don't want it. And so, but anyways, he flew to Austin, Texas, and then he's flown to Doho, and that's where he's at now. And so the Lord blessed him. When we prayed yesterday, because he told me in the morning that he had middle seats. And so I really felt for him because the person on the window, they got a wall to lean against. The person on the aisle, they can lean the other way. The person in the middle gets nothing. He's like this. You're just like this all of those hours, and it's miserable. And so you do that for 8 hours, it's one thing. You do that for 15 hours, it's miserable. And so he said, the Lord give him aisle seats all the way. So we thank God. That's just great. And so we're really happy. So that helps him a lot. And as we get older, when the person at the window has to go to the bathroom, everybody gets up. And so when you're on the aisle, you can go. And when you get older, sometimes you go more. So that's a blessing in many ways. So now I want to say again, I don't think I can say this enough. And that is that I appreciate Brother Michael and Sister Amanda for opening their home, and this is really, it's a big thing. We don't think much about it, but we don't know how much work goes into it, and just cleaning and making sure everything's ready, and it's really big, and we really appreciate it so much. And so I pray the Lord would just bless them, and they really helped us so much by having it here. Because we've had so much going and so many things, family and work and different things. My wife said to me the other day, she said, "You realize we've gone from one crisis to another, to another, to another." And I said, "Yeah, it's been that way." And, so we thank God that things are settling down. And, we want to appreciate them so much. And we appreciate each one. And I want to say again, it's really good to see you with us this morning, sister, and we thank God, and we're just happy that you're here. And so we're praying that that magnet that's just sitting over from you,
amen,
just gets stronger and stronger, and you stay right by her, because she loves you and she's there for you. And now, so we want to get right into the message now, and I'm going to pick up where we left off in the Church Ages book, and I've been trying for several services now to get to the message marriage and divorce, and he really nails down some things right there. And I sent out some quotes this morning for Brother Goomba had posted and really blessed me. And so I haven't had time to really follow on the groups and the things that are being posted. And so he had two long posts there, and I seen that he posted them around 3:30 in the mornings. I thought that he's been up all night studying, and so it was really good. And so I wanted the people to, because some of you are not on those groups, and so I wanted you to be able to read those quotes. And well, then at some point in time, Brother Goomba started posting, and I read it back here a while ago, and I didn't realize that little bit I got and put there, there was just bunches more that I hadn't even read. I didn't even know it was there. And so I think maybe that was yesterday, all day yesterday, whenever. And so I hadn't even read none of those quotes. I hadn't been following, been busy. But I picked up the last couple, and they were really good, and they really, I think, would help you in looking at some of the things we've been looking at. And I'm hoping that I want to make this offer. If you have any questions, I want you to feel free. If there's something that you're not understanding, let me say it like this, because this has been mentioned to me. If you're wondering why we're saying something, you know, sometimes we're addressing a situation, or we're addressing some quotes, or we're addressing somebody's ideas or something, and we're not saying this is what has been said, and we're just bringing the other side. And so it makes it harder. So when you get both sides of it, it's easier to understand the point that's being made. And so if you're not getting the point, then feel free. And if you don't feel comfortable coming, just write it down, put it there in the offering plate, and we'll see it. We'll address it. We'll try to answer it. And so I want that door to be open always. If you have any questions, feel free to put it out there. And sometimes there's just something maybe small missing. And something that Brother Goomba said in those quotes, that this was just a little piece of the puzzle. Just a little piece of the puzzle. And sometimes that one piece,
amen,
it just makes all the difference.
Yes.
Just makes all the difference. So let's start. This is in the Church Age of book. It's not saying the page number right there, but now it says that he hath chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. And that gives an eternal quality to the elect. You can't get away from it. Now, we read all the quotes before this, and this is where we ended up. And he was talking about the thoughts of God, the eternal thoughts of God. He was talking about, if you see this, you will see many things. If God gives you this revelation that the thoughts of God are eternal, he said, you will see many things.
Amen.
Because it opens a door. And so it's another piece of the puzzle that God is putting in there and lets it see it. So now he's saying that gives an eternal quality. So I've just picked up the definition of quality. I just wanted to read it. And normally when I'm thinking of the word quality, I'm thinking of traveling and hotels and one star versus five star. And so that quality, you're usually is more on, maybe comfort. You get more benefits, more this, more this, more this. So it's just something that's getting better, better, better. But this is deeper than that. when we're talking about God and we're talking about quality, he's saying this is, you have an eternal quality about you. There's something that you have. And so I hadn't thought about it like this, but anytime a definition mentions character and nature, then it catches my attention. See, an essential or distinctive characteristic, property or attribute, character or nature, as belonging to or distinguishing a thing. And so that's definitely what sets the elect aside from the world. It's the thing that even in Paul's day, the people took note. They took notice that these disciples had been with Christ. There was something about their actions. There was something about their words. There was something about their character, their nature that they knew. And one place they talked about, he said, they knew because they loved one another, because of that love. And so there's a part of you that's a part of him. And so there's something about you that is the same quality of God. And so, and he's saying it's an eternal quality. And so that hits right home in what we're talking about. Because this bride has to be the same thing. Amen. She can't be something different. And she can't be something, and what we found out in previous days or ages, where we thought this was something now that God's just making it up now, and he's putting it together, and or creating this, creating that. It's greater than that. Yes, this is an eternal purpose, an eternal plan, an eternal thoughts that God had in his mind that's being manifested now, and you're the results of that. Amen. And so you're more than just flesh and blood. You're more than just a created spirit. Yes, sir. But there's an eternal quality that God has placed in you. And that's the thing you can't get away from. That's the thing you can't run from. No matter what you're going through, no matter how far down we fall, there's something there that God has put that he's not going to let go. He's not going to lose it. He's not going to forget about it. And sometimes we're looking at somebody and we see their life is falling apart or they're having trouble. And when you're a Christian, when you're born again by the word of this day, then sometimes you realize that what they're going through. And this has been real to me lately because we've been going through some things. But sometimes what they're going through, no matter how bad it is, can be the best thing that's happened to them. Because all the time, all of us, we pray for our families, we pray for our loved ones, we pray for one another, and we're praying God's blessing, God blessing, God bless, Lord bless them, bless them. And many times we think, we don't even say, Lord bless them, we just thank him because he's blessed them so much. But sometimes they go through a hard place. And sometimes we're recognizing this might be God's way to get them back where they need to be.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That God is calling them, that God is drawing them. And so sometimes it's hard because it's your loved ones and you don't want to see them suffer. You don't want to go through anything. But the thing you want the very most,
yes,
is to see them walk with God, to see them get back to God. You believe. You believe that God has given them to you, and you're praying for them.
Amen.
And so sometimes those trials and troubles are a good thing. And so in the Smyrna Church Age, page 150, paragraph 4, let me inject a thought in here now. Even our natural birth is based upon election. The female ovaries produce many, many eggs, but why is it that at a certain time, a certain egg comes down and not another one? And then amongst the male sperm, for no known reason, a certain germ attaches itself to the egg. While others could have just as easily attached themselves. In other words, Brother Ram talked one time about, he was looking at it under a microscope, watching it take place. And he said, eggs and sperm, they were moving around, they were bumping into each other, just going around each other, and one over here would go between all these, could have attached many times, And somehow it ends up over here and attaches. And he said, what's determining that? Why is it when it could have easier, but an easier to attach to the first one? But something guided it through, and it's millions. There's millions of sails there.
Yes, sir.
That it could have attached to.
Amen.
See? Or had a better opportunity to do so and not do so and perished. There is an intelligence behind all of this. And that was another thing Brother Branham made clear, is that when those millions of cells, those millions of eggs, they come together and they're looking to attach one in one, all of the rest die. All the rest die. Millions of cells and they die. But there's life there.
Amen.
One coming together, coming together to bring forth that life. That's where Brother Branham said, one in a million. It's one in a million. See, there is an intelligence behind all of this. Otherwise, what determines whether the baby is a boy or a girl, blonde or brunette, light or dark type of eyes, etc.? With these thoughts in mind, think about Joshua and Caleb. See? So every bit of that is an intelligence. God determining every feature you would have, every color you would have, the color of your eyes, the color of yours, the color of your skin, everything about you, every size, every shape, all of it together, there was an intelligence that was moving in those cells to bring forth what you would be.
Amen.
See, didn't Jesus say in John 6:49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And those parents that died were necessary as the forefathers of the people whom Jesus was speaking. And they perished. Yet they were in the election of God naturally, as Joshua and Caleb were spiritually. Right? So both sides. Both sides is election. Both sides is predestination.
Amen.
Neither side is left to chance. Neither side is haphazard. Neither side is just something that it happens. No. There's an intelligence that brought every bit of it together. And all of those natural seeds, there was some spiritual seed in amongst there that was going to bring forth children of God. So all of those that were back there that died, he said that they fell in the wilderness and were dead, but yet here and there, there was a seed somewhere that came forth from those children. And there was two there, Joshua and Caleb. Two out of 2 million. But to go on, these elect were not only the eternal thoughts of God, which were to be expressed in flesh in their due season, but these same elect are called by another name.
Amen.
The same elect. These eternal thoughts of God. Now, I like hearing it. I like reading it.
Yes,
I like thinking about it.
Amen.
The thoughts of God are eternal.
Amen.
And the bride of Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the eternal thoughts of God.
Yes,
that's what she is. And she was in his mind before the foundation of the world, eternally with him, waiting to be expressed.
Amen.
Waiting to be expressed in her day. These elect were not only the eternal thoughts of God, but the same elect are called by another name in Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is a faith. What is faith? Revelation. Huh? Therefore, it is revelation, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's what you are.
Amen.
That's what he put in you. That's what he is. It's the word. It's the life. It's eternal life. It's that seed life coming down in a veil of flesh that is to be quickened by God, to bring forth the manifestation of God, to bring forth that eternal life.
Amen.
See? But what is it? Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace. It was revelation with Abel.
Yes, sir.
It was grace.
Yep.
It was not for Cain.
Amen.
It was for the seed.
Yes, sir.
God knew where the seed was. It came all the way down. Esau and Jacob. There was revelation. There was one that had it, the seed, and one didn't have it.
Amen.
And it's come, and it's come, and it's come.
Yes, sir.
And here it is today, with millions and millions of so-called Christians in the world today, millions, and with millions of different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their own idea.
Yes, sir.
God give us an absolute. And that's what we're striving for.
Amen.
We're striving to get every idea out of the way. We're striving to get every culture out of the way. We're trying to get every tradition out of the way. Every family idea, what mom and daddy brought us up in.
Yes.
There were some good things there. They taught us some good things. But that wasn't the Word of God. The Word of God is greater than that. And that's the thing we're looking for.
Amen.
And every one of us had different teachings. Every one of us had different cultures. We had different this and different that.
Yes, sir.
But the one thing that God has is the Word by revelation.
Amen.
And that's the thing He's bringing us to. And He's bringing it by His own timetable.
Yes.
Not by my timetable, by His timetable. See, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And Romans 9, 7 to 13, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Not because they're the seed of Abraham, not the natural seed, no. Not the natural seed. So He's going to tell us. He's going to explain it to us now. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. The children of the promise. The ones that have that revelation. That are given it by grace. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the promise, the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And you ever wonder why it was said to her and not to him? Why wasn't it said to him? Why was it that she helped deceive? Did she not?
Yes, sir.
Esau was a man's man. He was the hunter. He was the rough and tough. He was strong more than his brother. All of those things that you admire in a man. But Jacob was not. Jacob was more of a mama's boy. He was more soft, more, he wasn't into all of that. But what was the difference? By grace, he had that revelation. By grace, God put the seed in him.
That's right.
The seed was there. And that's how he was able to recognize it. Our God is a sovereign God.
Amen.
Our God does what he wants to do. When he wants to do it. How he wants to do it. He's not coming by nobody's idea about it. Now, I put another meaning here. And this is on desire. And I wanted, because I wanted to stop here. And after reading what we just read. And we actually, it was, it keeps repeating. Those quotes keep coming back around. But Brother Branham made the statement, God does not predestinate by desire. He doesn't. He's telling us how he predestinates. He's telling us how he does it. But I just wanted to read this word, desire. A strong feeling of wanting to have something or wishing for something to happen. As in a desire for revenge. resisted public desire for choice of education. A constant theme was his desire to protect his children. I have no desire to get a new phone. To strongly wish for or want something. That is not how God predestinates.
Amen.
No. God predestinates by himself. Where he places a seed, that seed is himself. And you were chosen in him. That's where we started. You were chosen in him. You had to be in him. You had to be a thought. You had to be a part of him before the foundation of the world. Now, this is where I've been trying to get for a little while. Marriage and divorce. And now Brother Branham brings a lot of things here. And I tried to cut some out and just get right to the point. But on paragraph 142, let us read. Notice now, God is featured in character. There was no beauty that we should desire him. But there never was a character like him on the earth. Now we find out today that the church character, Satan and his group, look after big, beautiful churches, beautiful things. That's what the world looks to today. Oh, it's just, we got a great pastor, great so-and-so things, so priestly and godly, walk out with these big robes and things like that, see? They call that beauty. So I can remember, hadn't in a long time, but I can remember years ago, when we used to go up here to Lincolnton a lot of times on Sunday after church for an eight at the restaurant there. And there was a lot of local church groups came in there, and there was priest, and there was Catholic priest and Episcopalian priest and all these different ones. And they had their robes on, they had their chains on, they had their collars on and turnbackers and all this. And you look at that and you don't read it. You see it there that it's supposed to mean something. It's supposed to make them something. It's supposed to be a holy thing, the same as they make with the Pope. He's supposed to be some holy somebody, and he does all these rituals. And you don't read none of that in the Bible. You don't have any basis for all of that stuff. And the people are falling for it. And the people follow after it. And they're so impressed with those things. And how what they think is spiritual, or what they think is godly. And none of it's godly. None of it has anything to do with God.
Amen.
The real saints of God looks for the character of the vindicated word.
Yes, sir.
That's what they're looking for. I remember when I first came in the message, and I've told you many times, I moved in next door to a man, and he was having church in his home, and he had two widow women and a juvenile delinquent. And I lost my thought. So, it'll come back to me in just a minute, I'm sorry. But let me read. But the real saints of God looked for the character of the vindicated word.
Amen.
So this brother, Jim Pate, he was our pastor, and his aunt came to live with him for a while. And so she was failing in her health, and so he was trying to help her. And so she would have to be there. And while we were having service and everything, she was some nominal believer. I don't know what she believed, but anyway, she said in the services, she was a real nice lady, and she was old and fragile, and we spoke nicely to her. But it began to wear on her that everything was about the word. And so, anything she would say, and I won't say Jim was the most tactful, but he always put her back to the word. So whatever they were talking about it, he'd say, the word said this, and the word said that. And this, finally, one day she had enough, and she said, the word, the word, the word. She said, that's all you say is the word, the word, the word. That's all you talk about is the word. I thought, yeah, that's right. But that she didn't know no better. And so he was trying to help her, but it's the only thing that makes it for the bride,
yes,
is the word.
It's
something built into her. It's that seed. It's that revelation. that he gives.
Amen.
As I was, Brother Michael and I was talking, I was listening the other Wednesday night, and Sister Edith was complaining about the, we hadn't been sending out the quotes. And so I feel sorry for Michael because he's got so much on his plate with work. He's on call. He don't have a job where you leave it at work and you come home. He's on call part of the time, and even when he's not on call, he's on call. And so he is in high demand there, and so it really takes up a lot of his time and energy. And so he was apologizing because he was behind on the website and putting out the quotes and everything. And so the sister was complaining a little bit. I the quotes aren't there. I'm trying to read them, and they're not there. And so I just thing kept coming back around to me, and we were talking about it, and I said, you know, I feel sorry for you having this load on you, and you're behind. I said, but I'm so thankful that we got somebody complaining about it. I'm so thankful that there's somebody there that wants to read it, that wants to hear it, that wants to know it, that wants to see it.
Amen.
And that's what he's talking about.
Yes.
It's the character of the vindicated word. It's the thing that you're living for your whole life. He said, this is more important. This message, this revelation is more important than the food you eat.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
You will change your whole life.
Amen.
For this message.
Yes, sir.
There's people who turn down good jobs so they can be where they can be fed. There's people that turn down lots of things so they can be under the anointing of the word. They can be in a fellowship somewhere.
Amen.
Some people don't. Some people don't. The first thing is their career. There's whatever they want, whatever they desire. There's people who base everything on their spiritual life first. And then their career, and then all these other things.
Right.
Comes in second, third, and wherever it comes in at.
Amen.
But the real saints of God looks for the character of the vindicated word. And that's what the saints did in that day when they seen Jesus. He wasn't nothing to look at, but they seen God was in him. They seen God was with him, see? That's right. That's how that those Joab and those characters with David, a little old fellow, see? And they seen that God was in him. They knowed he was coming into power someday. One of them slew the other five brothers of Goliath single-handed. Quite a man, wouldn't you say?
Amen.
One killed 300 men when some women was out picking beans for dinner. And the army had gone away. And he took a spear and he killed 300 men. Philistines.
Yes.
Character.
Amen.
He's calling it character.
Yes, sir.
You put that in the spiritual today, that's the bride.
Amen.
That's the bride today. That's the character of the word in you standing in this last days when the whole world is nothing but Philistines, when the whole world is against this revelation.
Amen.
That's right. You're that one. You're that one with the sword. You're that one with the revelation. See? And character, why, they stayed right by David. See? They know the anointing was on him and they knowed he was coming into power. A pure picture of the church today that will stand by the word. See, we know it's going to be made vindicated. And it has been vindicated. That's the beauty of it. And it's continuing to be vindicated. These little things that are left shady or not sure, they're God is vindicating them. One by one by one, he's opening these things up. And so, you know, it's not that we're bringing anything new. The things, it's just, but little pieces of the big picture are dropping in along the way.
Amen.
And sometimes we don't get it. We didn't get it all the first time around. And that's why I was reading those things Brother Goomba posted this morning. And it just, it really was good for me. That just got me excited, stirred my heart, brother. God bless you. Amen. And so, there's been, let me just say, there's been, and I don't want to get off on that, but we're somewhat on it anyways. But in the last two or three years, the thing about Adam has kept coming up and coming up and coming up and on the groups and different ones, different places. And so it just keeps coming back around. And so, and one of the quotes that has been rehashed over and over and over, is about, Adam was behind the Word, and Christ was the Word. And so it kept pushing back and forth and back and forth until it kind of come to a place where it seemed like that we had something he didn't have, because we had the fullness of the Word, the fullness of the revelation, the fullness of the Spirit. And so somehow it was in my mind, it was seeming that way. And so that's one of the things that Brother Goomba brought out and in the message, bringing the quotes. And apparently there's a lot more there, because I seen just a while ago that there was a lot more done yesterday. So, but we'll look at that. But on this, the point that he brought out and showed it in the quotes was, we also are just like Adam. And Brother Branham said that over and over and over. Yeah. And Brother Branham said, we've been restored back. He said it over and over and over.
Yes, sir. Yes.
But somehow or another, there's just been this gray area that Adam didn't have everything we have, and that we had something greater than he had. And the point being that we're in the same place. We're behind the Word.
Amen.
We're not the Word. We didn't become the Word.
Right.
No, we're a part of the Word. And you're going to become the Word when you step into your theophany. And when you step into your theophany, then you are going to know all things. And until that happens, you don't know all things.
Amen.
You don't. Adam didn't know all things. He said, we're on the exact same basis that Adam was.
Amen.
But one thing Adam did know is that he could not be deceived.
Yes.
Adam could not be deceived. And that's the same thing, the same place that we're standing. We've been restored back to where he was.
That's right.
We still don't know all things, but we can't be deceived.
Amen.
It's not possible.
That's right.
Amen. So, praise God. I wish this happened every day. And it'll happen more the more we're in the Word. But when God reveals something to you, don't it just stir something?
Yes. Yes.
It just puts you in a jubilant place.
Yes.
And that was a piece for me that really, now you might have already had that one. And because it's such a simple thing, you think, and you say, well, you should have known. Yeah, I should have known a lot of things, but I don't. But I'm thankful when I do. And I'm not ashamed to say. I'm not ashamed to say it. I just thank God. And so that it opens up. And when you've studied something so much and then a piece hits for you, it's really big. It just makes it bigger and greater. And these things, they're important. They're important. And see, we know he's coming in power someday. And although Saul, and he was a fugitive from the rest of the nations, and Saul was after him, but David was a fugitive from the rest of the nations, but they knowed he was coming into power. We know he's coming into power too. So we take that word and stand right there, no matter what it costs. If we have to cut Philistines or jump into a pit, kill a lion, as one did, we go anyhow, because that's the way God designed it to be. That's the way God designed it to be.
Right.
Now, we look for character.
Yes.
And so we admire that character. We admire somebody that will just stand for the Word. We admire somebody that just jumps into the pit and makes the fight.
Amen.
Now, and I tell you, I'm guilty sometimes. I tell you, I'm guilty. There's a difference, okay? There's a difference in a warrior and somebody who can maybe just fight, okay? I'm just putting it in those terms, right? So let's just picture it like this, right? There's a lion there was a trap, and they did a pit, and they put some sticks over it, and they put the leaves on it, and they hit it, and the lion walks over it, and he falls in the pit, okay? Now you walk up now, half a dozen of you, us brothers, we walk up to the pit, we look at it, and so I'll just be honest with you, I'm the guy stands back here and says, I'll kill it from up here, with my spear. And I'm ready to kill the lion. We take it home and do whatever. But there's some that's more of a fighter than I am. Okay? And he says, No. Don't put your spear down. I'll take care of it. Pulls the sword out and he jumps down in the pit. Huh? That's the character these guys had. That's the difference. We don't have much of that today. There's some because the same God's here.
Amen.
And the same quickening power's here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
He could take his knife and jump down in the pit and kill the lion. You know that's in the Bible? Oh, it is in there. Yeah, that's the kind of men they were. We look for character. You may now ask me, why did he permit her to be designed thus? 140. Okay. So he's going into this, and now he's going into it fast. Okay? All right. We look for character. Now, he's been building up to this in this message, and it's only paragraph 148, but he's been building up in this message. And this is the same thing we've been building up to in these things that we've been talking about. You may now ask me, why did he permit her to be designed thus? Why? The question might arise. Why did God make this woman like this? Why? Why did he permit her to be like that? It was for his own good pleasure.
Amen.
Sure. Now, let me ask you something. If you read the negative side of the woman coming this way, he calls her a lot of bad names. He identifies her as a filthy sexual disposal. He brings it on strong. So, did I just see at the beginning, the first sentence, you may ask me, why did he permit her to be designed thus? She was designed with a purpose in mind.
Amen.
She was designed. And now in the last sentence, it was for his own good pleasure.
Amen.
So all of this sin and all this death and all of this that the woman brought, it was for God's own good pleasure. Now, God wasn't in favor of that. God didn't want that. But there was something greater that had to take place. And we know that. And that's what he's talking about. Now, if you want to turn in your Bibles a minute and turn to Romans 9, just a minute, and show you something, how God does these things. And we can see here that what God does for his own good pleasure, see? What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? When he chose Jacob and he rejected Esau, before either boy could have a right to make a choice, huh? Before their free moral agency kicked in, they were going to make their choice. Yes, they had to because they were put on free moral agency. See, neither one of them, before they was born, still in the womb of the mother, God said, I hate Esau and I love Jacob. See, why? Why? For he said unto Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion.
Amen.
What is that? A sovereign God.
Yes, sir.
What is that? Grace. It's revelation by grace. It's the seed of God planted in there to come forth in its allotted time.
Yes, sir.
When God is ready for it. Esau, Jacob, just go down the line over and over and over. There's a seed. There's not a seed. There's a seed. There's not a seed. It just keeps coming. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Huh? No. He can do whatever he wants whenever he wants. He'll have mercy on whom he will. So then it is not him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. Is that right? There's that grace. There's that revelation. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all of the earth.
Amen.
Yeah. And what did God do he hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why? So he could show his power. It was for his good pleasure that he did these things. Therefore, now watch here. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right?
He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will harden. And they will reject it, and they will be condemned for it. Thou wilt say unto me, why then does he find fault? In other words, how is he going to judge them justly if he's hardened their heart? How is he going to judge them? For who has resisted his will? That's the point. Well, if everyone's just doing his will, then how is he going to find fault, and how is he going to bring judgment? This is the other side. This is the other side. This is the other side of just saying, well, he didn't predestinate you to do this or that, but he knew you would do it. So he's rewarding you because you made the right choice, and he's condemning you because you didn't. This is the other side. This is him choosing. This is him deciding. This is him predestinating. For who has resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that rilest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? No, you don't get no say-so in it. You don't get no complaint in it. You don't get nothing in it. God did it. God decided it before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Let's read that again. Nay, but O man, who art thou that rilest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me this? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel to honor and the other to dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured such long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? Huh? In every age, in Noah's day, in Moses' day, in his day, in this last days. Huh? He suffered with all of this rejection, all of this. The word is out there. The Bible's out there. He's protected the scripture, the written word. He's protected it. He poured out his spirit upon all flesh. Is that right? That was a promise this last day, a promise 2,000 years ago. Poured out his spirit upon all flesh.
Amen.
They heard it. They knew it. But they weren't seed. So they, by the millions, believed it. But they didn't have the revelation of it. And that's where the seed comes in. That's the difference. That's the seed.
That's right.
He might make known the riches of his glory on the vessel of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Praise be to God. Now argue with that a while. God did it. How about that? Who did it? Your free moral agency did it? You chose? You decided? No. God did it. God chose before the foundation of the world. And he put you on free moral agency. And the decisions you're making are based on whether the seed of God is in there or not.
That's right.
And if God's not drawing you, if God's not calling you, if you're not a part of him before the foundation of the world, you'll never come to him.
That's right.
That's the reason he could call it eternal separation. Mm-hmm. Because you had to be in him.
Amen.
That's the only way he could redeem you, is because you were there to begin with. It is. Gets greater and greater.
Amen.
Now argue with that a while. God did it. He had to make it this way. It had to be there. Now you listen for about 5 minutes. I want to call your attention to something. See? What is God? God is the great eternal. At the beginning, way back before there was a beginning, he wasn't even God. Did you know that? God's an object of worship. There was nothing to worship him. He lived alone. He was the great eternal spirit. And then he created something to worship him, and he manifested that attribute of wanting to be God.
Amen.
He was already God in his attributes, but he manifested it. It became word. It became manifestation. And in him was attributes. And what is an attribute? It's a thought. And what is God's thoughts? Eternal. Now you'll get something that will border on the lesson for tonight. Notice, he was his attributes that was in him.
Amen.
Now he's saying it differently, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
He's not just saying he had some attributes. He was his attributes.
Amen.
He was his attributes that was in him. That's wonderful. See, and that is exactly what Brother Branham was talking about when he said the thoughts of God are eternal. He said, if you can see this, you will see many things.
Amen.
This is one of those things. This is one of those things that you see when you, by revelation, know that the thoughts of God had no beginning and no ending.
Amen.
That's right. The thoughts of God are real. They are substance.
Yes.
He was his attributes that was in him. That's right. Praise be to God. See? And now, it was in him to be Father. It was in him to be God. It was in him to be Son. It was in him to be Savior. It was in him to be Healer. And all of these things here are just displaying his attributes. All of these things. Like what? The fall. The fall brings forth God's ability to manifest his good pleasure.
That's right.
To manifest his attribute of a Savior. That's what it does.
Amen.
And all of these things are just displaying his attributes. There's nothing out of order. You think God didn't see the end from the beginning? Certainly he did. There's nothing out of order. See, it's just displaying. It's just displaying his attributes.
Amen.
This is why marriage and divorce is a great message. This is why it's a great message. And because there's so much revelation in here, there's so many details, so many pieces of the puzzle that is revealed in this message. And polygamy's not it. That's not the mystery. Polygamy is not the mystery hid from the foundation of the world. That's been here since the fall. It's been here since the fall. It's everywhere. It's all in nature. It's in man. It's everywhere. That's not the mystery. The mystery is those seven thunders. Now, he could not be just and make man to fall. Now he's coming back. He could not be just and make man to fall. He had to put him on an equal basis of free moral agency. Is that right? That's what he did. And that's what everybody is making their own choice. You're making your choice. There's just one simple catch. Is the children of God, the predestinated of God, they have an advantage. And that advantage is that the seed of God is in there. That they're already a son and daughter of God.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
If I didn't get saved on any day, and I always was saved, and I'm an eternal thought of God, then tell me when I was lost, and tell me when I was found, and tell me when I become eternal.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Listen, God is displaying his attributes.
Yes.
That's what this is, a great drama. It's a great thing taking place. And you are just acting out your part that God called you to act out.
Amen.
Moses was just acting out that part that God wanted him to do. And he was a special built man. He was a special character. His personality was built just like it was. He was raised in a palace looking at his people suffering out there. You think it didn't, you think, well, he just had it made, it was all great. No, it was anguish on the inside. He was tore up on the inside. He was looking out there and seeing his people being beat and whipped, and it Some people it wouldn't have mattered to, but for him it did. For him it was tearing him apart, so much so that he forsook all of the riches of Egypt. He forsook all that he could be. He could have been the Pharaoh. He could have been the number one man. And he forsook it for what he was looking out there in the dirt. He already told us what that was in one word. Character. It was character. And it was in him. Because it was Christ. It was Christ back there. It was Christ in the middle of the book. It's Christ at the end of the book. It's the same thing. It's Christ in the bride today. You watch him. You just watch him. And you'll see in that moment of crisis, you watch which way they turn. You just watch. That's what Brother Branham said about Hattie Wright. He said, she said, I don't know what to say, Brother Branham. What should I ask for? She's asking the prophet, what should I ask for? He said, I can't do say that. He said, but your husband's down there in the grave. You ask for him, we'll go down there and raise him up. Been dead for years. So that little Edith there has been in the wheelchair all of her life. Said, ask for that, she'll walk. Said, you don't make but $200 a year. Said, ask for $1 million. It'll be laying on the table.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And she was just tore up. Brother Branham, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Remember, God's told her to say something now. Yes. God's told her. Yes. Said, say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And she paused. And Brother Branham said, and then I knew. And then I knew. You watch that seed. You watch that seed. You watch people. We're going to go through every test. We go through every test. We're going through them now. But you watch that seed. It'll bypass this mind. It'll bypass your desire. It'll bypass what you want.
Yes, sir.
That seed will come right down in there and take over. And she said, Brother Branham, the greatest desire of my heart is the salvation of my two boys.
Amen.
Not the money. Not raising the dead, not healing the cripple. It's the salvation of my two boys.
Amen.
And he said, and I give them to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And said, them two boys was over there laughing and snickering and making fun. And said, they fell over their mother's lap.
Yes, sir.
Begging God.
Yep.
Amen. Yeah, that's free moral agency. That's right. Some people cry and beg and don't get nothing. Some people cry and beg and God brings them right in.
Yes, sir.
Why? That's election. That's predestination.
Amen.
That's because the seed is in there.
Yes.
If the seed's not in there, there's no matter how much you cry.
Amen.
You say, well, then there's no use in me trying. That proves the seed's not in there.
That's right.
Yeah. You watch people with that attitude. Well, no, God's going to do whatever He's going to do. And trust me, I don't know if it's my thinking or if it's Satan or what, every once in a while. But it's a revelation to me.
Yes.
That God's in control of this. And no matter what happens, no matter what I do, God's in control. But people come with that attitude. Well, I just do whatever I want to because if I'm the seed, yeah, that shows there's no seed there. Because
right.
If the seed is in there, you want to please Him. You can't help it. It's a magnet. It's drawing you. It's drawing you.
That's right.
You love Him. You thank Him. You praise Him.
Yes. Amen.
See? He had to put Him on equal basis of free moral agency to make His own choice, but knowing He would fall. Oh, yeah. That's what happened to Adam. Adam was right here on free moral agency. I don't mean to keep bringing this up, brother, but... It just clicked more so than ever before. Brother Branham kept saying it. And we say amen, but it just, we're on the same basis as Adam. The same. And we have been restored back to the same thing that Adam was.
Yes.
That's the words of the prophet, isn't it?
Yes.
Over and over and over again. And
you can
pull a quote or two here and there, and you can try to upset that. But the problem with that is, that's Genesis to Revelations. And so that's a hard thing to upset when you got something from Genesis to Revelations. And you're going to try to rock that around and make it something else. That doesn't work.
That's right.
And it won't work for the bride.
Amen. Amen.
See, he had to make his choice. Knowing he would fall, but he can't be a savior unless something's lost. He can't be a healer unless something is sick. So these things had to be this way. See, that way. God made them thus so that his great attributes could be displayed. Huh? God did what? God made them. God made them this way. Tell me, who created? Who created the world? Who created Adam? Who created Eve? Who did it? If there wasn't that, see, he'd never have been Savior. Never be a Savior. He had never been a Savior, but we know he was. Even before there was a time, he was a Savior. Yeah, see, what is it? It goes right back to those eternal thoughts.
Yes,
it's the same thing. That's what he's saying. Right. He already was a Savior, but there wasn't anybody lost. He already hated Esau, but he hadn't even done anything wrong.
Amen.
No. He was a Savior. Something had to be lost. Right. And now he's in control of this creation. And so he's got to create something that can fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to him. There's nobody else to do it.
That's right.
So he's already a Savior. He's already a healer. And so now he can't just make you be lost and be just. He can't just make you be lost and then judge you for it. No, 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 no. He put you on free moral agency. And so he put you here. You got a mind. You hear the word. He can anoint you with his spirit. He can anoint you and you go preach it. You'll pick up the word of God and you'll read it and you'll say, praise God. That's true. I believe that. And preach it. And you might even get people to come, repent, be baptized, this and this and this. You might have big gatherings. But without the revelation, which comes by grace, that's not doing any good. It's not doing anybody any good. What it's doing is it's the blind leading the blind.
That's right.
Preaching the message anointed by the true Spirit of God.
Amen.
That's something, isn't it? Even before there was a time, he was a Savior. That's right. Why? Because his thoughts are eternal. I'm going to keep saying that because I like hearing it. I'm not going to say I hope the devil don't like it. I know the devil don't like it. That's right. He was the Savior, so there has to be something lost. How's it going to be? If he just takes and loses it just in order to save it, then it isn't justice to his judgment. See? He couldn't send a man to hell and be just. He's kind, gentle, true, honest. He is a great judge. See? He would be working against himself. So, what did he do? He created angels. And some of them fail. Some of them were found with jealousy and turned against him and began to work against him. And then went and worked, took some of the animal life, the serpent, and began to use that to work against God. And then continue right on. So he worked his way in to the human race vicariously and caused the fall. So once he got in, he was in. Every person born was born in sin. So he had to put a man out there and make him on free moral agency so he would, knowing, would fall. And the man in his own image, how could he fall?
Amen.
Huh? He creates a man in his own image. How is that man going to fall?
Right.
Now you see in daylight. Now you see in daylight. Huh? Let's read that again. Paragraph 157. He had to put man out here and make him on free moral agency so he could. So he would, knowing he would fall. And the man in his own image. How could he fall? Think about it now. Remember, the scripture said, Adam was not deceived.
Amen.
He couldn't be deceived because he was in the image of God.
Right.
So how is he going to make this fall? How is he going to bring it to pass? Because he's a Savior and there's going to be something fall. But he's not going to make it. Something's going to make it happen. Now you see in daylight. See? So, this is what he did. He had to make a byproduct. Something out of the original creation. Now you see it? See? There you come. They were saying amen, I'm sure. So he said, there you come. He felt them coming in. He felt that welcoming. See? There you come. See? Then that's what failed. He made it knowing it would fall. What did he make? He made a byproduct that was not in the original. Something that could fall. But it was tied back to the original. Because it was a piece. One place he called it a piece, one place he called it a scrap. It was a part of that original. See, that's what fell. He made it knowing it would fall. See, think about it. This man in his own image, how could he fall? How did this man fall? I think I did something like this once before, but I want to do it again. So, let's just say there's a crazy guy, a murderer, who has broke out of the insane asylum or the prison or wherever. And Brother Gumba's there with his family, his wife, his children. And this guy comes in and he holds them all at gunpoint. And he says, and remember, this was life or death, right? This was Adam and Eve. This was life or death. So this guy, he says, he's crazy. He says, one of you are going to die. He said, you choose. You choose, the four of you, which one's going to die. Who's going to die, Brother Gumba? He already knows. He's going to die for them. Now, he's got a choice. Now, he can choose anybody in the family he wants to. But he knows. This is life and death. He knows the decision that he's going to make. What if it's a sister? Sister Rebecca, you got a son that you love so much. Somebody breaks into your house. They have a gun. They said, one of you are going to die, one of you are going to live. Who's going to die? Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind.
Amen.
That's right. Sister Esther, you got two daughters. You got two granddaughters, two grandsons. You're all there having a birthday party. And the man breaks into the house. Who's going to die? You're going to die. You have a choice, though. You got all those other people. You just all vote together. Who's going to die? Adam had a choice.
Yep.
He had a choice. It was her or it was him going with her. He made the choice. He made a choice.
That's right.
On his own. The Bible says he was not deceived.
That's right.
The prophet said he was not deceived. She was deceived because she was a byproduct. She was made for that purpose. See, it's put over in the hands of Satan for a vessel of dishonor. Goes right back to Romans, don't it? Who are we to say? You made out of the same lump, this one for honor, this one for dishonor? Huh? What are you going to say? Where is honor bestowed today? You think on that, see? Notice closely, see? Then, again, why she was designed this way, see, and not like other females. Why was the woman designed so and not other females? The woman was designed out of the original creation for this purpose. Which purpose? God's good pleasure. Why? Because God was a Savior. Because God was a healer. Because God was all of these things. He was a judge. Besides being a Savior, he was a judge.
Amen.
And he's a king. And he's a husband. He's all of these things.
Yes.
And so now there had to be a way for this fall to take place without him just making them fall. So he made this woman out of the creation, out of the original. Every female in all of creation, every female animal, the dog, the cat, the cow, the horse, the deer, everything was in the original creation.
Amen.
Think about it. You know, I don't know anywhere that these things were understood before this message.
That's right.
This was the details, the pieces of the puzzle that came after the opening of the seals.
Yes.
Although they had a lot of revelation back there in the old days, they knew what the serpent seed was. They knew that you, even the Jews today, their books, you read their books, they know what serpent seed is, because that was affected them directly. And so they know. It's just the Protestants that have got away from anything that is real, any revelation. They run the other way from it, and they want it's a tradition or an idea or something. And so Satan has designed that. But this woman was not in the original creation. Every animal can only have a relationship with a male animal when it's time for babies. When it's time for, but the woman is different. She can do that anytime. The only female in all of creation that can do that. She was not in the original creation. She was made different from all other females for a purpose. None other females was designed like that. They're not. Today, they can't. Not being made that way, she can't do it, see? Why? Brother Branham said a hog cannot commit adultery. A dog cannot commit adultery. A cow cannot commit adultery. The cow, the bull. There's no adultery there.
Amen.
See? But the woman can. See, just like other females, she would just be the same way. Would just raise her babies. Then she would have her husband and live. And when it come time for her baby, she would have her baby. Why? Why didn't he make her like this? See? Like the animal. Why didn't God make the woman like the animal? In the original. Huh? See, I can't say these words. You understand what I'm talking about. See, don't you? He said, if you understand me, say amen. And so you know. There is young girls sitting here and young boys, see? So, but you know, the animal has to come to a certain time of the year, and then her mate, and then that's all. But a woman is any time, see? And that's why. And why did he make her like this? Why? Why did he do that? Now watch this great program unfold as we go on through here now. Just as perfect can be. I didn't know this till the other day. This is a revelation. This was a revelation. Why didn't he make her like that in the beginning, like the rest of his females? Because it would be unbecoming to him. Huh? What did he say a while ago? Adam, created in the image of God, how could he fall? That was the question. How is Adam going to fall if he was in the image of God?
Amen.
Because it would be unbecoming to him. He is the fountain of all purity. That's the reason he had to let Satan get a hold of her. What he'd done in the perversion. See, such a creature would not be becoming to him, originally designed for. See? So she had to go on that side so that the attributes of God could be displayed. And there was no way around it. All of his works that he designed in the original is in continuity. All of his original works was in continuity. The female dog, the female cow, the male cow, everything in continuity. All nature is in continuity. The seed die, go in the ground, just like death, burial, resurrection. The sap goes down out of the trees, drops its leaves, comes back the next year with the resurrection of a new leaf. Huh? No sin, no, in continuity. In continuity with God. Everything in the original was in continuity with God. You see what I mean? everything, even nature of God, is all in continuity, in one. And here is one designed out of the continuity of God. What was she? She was designed. She was designed. This was not on purpose. And that's my point. It's not on purpose. God allowed it. He designed it to bring forth His attributes.
Yes, sir.
There had to be a way. And it couldn't come through His original creation.
Amen.
That would have been discomplimentary to God.
Yes, sir.
That would have been creating something and making it fall. He couldn't do it. That's what He's talking about. He didn't make Adam fall. He couldn't make Adam fall.
Amen.
Adam couldn't fall. You say, I got a quote that says he did. That's okay. But he couldn't.
Amen.
You can word it like that if you want to. That's okay. And I understand what you're saying. But Adam was in the image of God.
Amen.
And so he could not fall. He could not be deceived.
Amen.
Sometimes those words get interchanged and then it creates a disagreement or an argument, but it's the big picture. It's the big picture. Here is one designed out of the continuity of God. Nature is so designed so it can't sin. Think. The original creation of God could not sin.
Amen.
Did he say it?
Yes, sir.
I got a quote that says Adam sinned. So are you going to stop believing the revelation because of the wording? That's what's wrong. And I'm going to tell you one other thing. And I've said this, I've been saying this for years. A lot of this arguing going on, and I don't want to call it arguing, even reasoning among us brothers, a lot of times it's terminology.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's terminology. One wants to say it their way. One wants to say it their way. One wants to say it their way. And the best ways to say it is when you say it just like he said it.
That's right.
That's right. You don't have to add anything to it. You don't have to take anything away from it. When you say it just like he said it, then everybody gets it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm talking about bride now. I'm talking about bride. If you read the message, if you study the message, and one of these ministers stands here and makes a statement, and we're not reading it saying the prophet said it. We're just saying it. Nine times out of ten, every one of you will know if it's a quote or not.
Yep.
You've listened to this message too long. You've read this message too long. You know when you're hearing the words of the prophet.
Amen.
You know it.
Yep.
Now, if I shuffle the words around, and so that can be the same thing or it could be another thing, then I say the same thing. Now you're thinking about it. Now you're wondering. Well, that's close to what Brother Branham said, but that's not how he said it. So the question's in our mind now, is he meaning what the prophet is saying, or is he has another meaning in this new wording that he's got here? That's why if you're saying the same thing, why not say it the same way?
That's right.
Yep. It's just...
Yep.
I have to. For me, I have to. Because I don't have the big words. I don't have them. And so, 163. Oh, don't you see it now? In this view here, the perversion of the church. The original is God's word. And there's no sin in God. You see what I mean? Here is a creature that come into existence by a perversion. And God is going to have a church. But look at this perverted thing they got out here. God has male and female. But this woman, see, the very symptoms of it shows back what was in God's mind. Huh? We could take an hour or two and break that down. He made this creature for that way. He made her for this purpose. To display his attributes. See? He made the creature and turned her so Satan could get a hold of her. And he did. And has still got her. She had better flee to the cross like the man too.
Amen.
That's right. And that's the world.
Yes, sir.
But for the seed, when that's quickened, their love is to this revelation. And they're not out there in the world. They don't love the things of the world. They have a different love. Their love has changed from philia to agapo. All nature runs in continuity. If he had made the woman, listen to this, listen now. If he would have made the woman in the same original creation, there'd have been no sin. So then he could not display his attribute of Savior, of Healer, of all that he is. If she had been in the original creation, there would have been no fall. That's right. So, who did it? God did it. God designed it thus to display his attributes. God designed it thus, putting his seed in there to make sure he doesn't lose a one. Because she couldn't have done it, she couldn't have done it. See? She is a perversion of the original creation. So is all sin a perversion of the original truth? That's right. What is a lie is the truth perverted. What is adultery is the right act perverted. So where is the perverted creature? There is the perverted whole thing, see? And the whole thing is spelled sin, laying right there. That's why the question is so great. Only a piece, a scrap, made of the man to deceive him by, see? God made it right here, has proved it, see? That's what she was made for. She was made for that purpose. And she's still deceiving today. She's still deceiving today. But where's the bride? Sealed in with Christ.
Amen.
Where's the bride today? Standing with no sin. And she can't sin. And she's not deceived. And she can't be deceived. He made it clear when he's talking about you, you sisters, when he's talking about the bride, he separated it. He said, I'm not talking about the church, the world, the nominal. He said, the bride is in him, is sealed in with him. She has no sin. I'm going back to the Smyrna church age. Let's see where we're at here. Did not Jesus say in John 6:49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead? And those parents that died were necessary as the forefathers of the people to whom Jesus was speaking. Yes. They perished. Yet they were in the election of God naturally, as Joshua and Caleb was spiritually. Now, I guess I'm repeating. I didn't realize I did that. But I'm just going to read it. Romans 4:16 again. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end. The promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. It sounds like he's going back to the natural, but he's not. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, he keeps going back to the purpose of God, to the good pleasure of his will, according to election, might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And in Galatians 3:16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And he saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. According to Romans 4:16, we find that God has given a sure promise to all of Abraham's seed. And Paul puts himself and all believers under that designation.
Yes, sir.
Because he says, Abraham, who is the father of us all. It always, when these things first began to come out and talked about and hashed around, it marveled me when I was actually way back studying on eternal covenant. It marveled me when I thought about the fact that Adam was put on a conditional covenant. Now, why would God create a spoken word seed, Son of God, in the perfect image of God, and place him there on the earth, put him over the whole earth, and give him a covenant like that? Huh? This was the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
And then he's going to come down some, I don't know, 1,000 years later, and he's going to take a man who was, Brother Branham said, probably an idol worshiper from Chaldea. Where was the place Abraham was from? Chaldea. And said, then God goes down there and calls this man, who was an idol worshiper, and calls him out and gives him an unconditional covenant.
Yes, sir.
That no matter what, you're my eternal Son of God. No matter what. I've called you, I'm blessing you, and I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this. And you don't got to do anything. Why?
Yes.
Why? Adam gets that covenant and Abraham gets this covenant.
Amen.
Because that covenant was there for the fall.
Yes, sir.
He couldn't have gave Adam Abraham's covenant.
Amen.
But spiritually, he already had it.
Yes,
it was in him. He already had it. He was the Son of God. He was an eternal thought of God.
Amen.
But God had to give him that covenant so there could be a fall. So when he went out there and saved his wife, bam, that was it.
Yes, sir.
Here comes the Savior. Here comes the healer. Here comes the judge. Here he comes. He's on his way now.
Amen.
And over thousands of years, he starts manifesting himself, manifesting himself.
Amen.
And what a beautiful picture. What a beautiful story. It's the greatest story ever told.
Yes, sir.
A lot of times people just talk about Calvary. No, to me, Genesis to Revelations, the whole thing, the whole thing is beautiful. And you come through and you see those great men back there, as we was talking about with David. Huh? Great men. And I think how weak we are today. Man. Yeah, imagine walking up to the pit and just pull your knife. And I don't even think of it. Just pull your knife out. Whew. Huh? Man.
That
was man.
Amen.
There ain't nothing makes me more sick than when I'm standing talking to a man and he's... Or he starts sticking his tongue out. That makes me sick. And I turn around and I can't look at it. I can't look at it. That's the spirit today.
Yes.
We don't have many men left.
Amen.
It's going the other way. It's become a great perversion.
Yes, sir.
It's a perverted spirit.
That's right.
And you go in a restaurant and you see some of these waiters, and you know, and they come walking up and their body's going every direction, and you're just like, I don't want him.
Yes.
Give me somebody else. And then a woman comes that's got 20 earrings and tattoos all over her body and not much clothing on, so you have to look at them.
Yeah.
That's the perversion today.
Yes.
That's where we are.
Yeah.
These were men.
Yes, sir.
We look, and I never was much for boxing. I looked at it a little bit because Brother Holmes did, and Brother Holmes actually boxed some. Brother Branham boxed. And was good. And but they talked about, he talked about Corbett and another guy way back there, and I don't know if that was in the 20s or further back, I don't know what, but he the story's there, you can find it in the Message. And he said those men, he said the night before, the day before they would fight, said they had a low bed and they put their hands in vinegar and let them soak all night. And they'd become hard as rocks. And they'd fight and said, those men would go 120 rounds. Does anybody know now how many seconds is a round? Is it a minute or 2 minutes? A two-minute round?
Three
at the most. I think it's a two-minute round. And so that's a round now. So they begin fighting, and they can jump around. They might hit each other a few times. They might hit a lot. But 2 minutes and the bell rings, that's a round. In those days, a round was a knockdown. In other words, you had to knock him on the ground. That was one round. If it took you 2 minutes, if it took you 10 minutes, that was a round. And he talked about these two fighters. And he said they went 120 rounds. Huh?
I think that was Fitzsimmons.
Fitzsimmons is his name. Corbett and Fitzsimmons. Yeah, 120 rounds. Somebody got knocked down. Over and over until somebody couldn't get back up. Those were men. And you look at these boxers now, and I look at Tyson, some of these different, Muhammad Ali, these different ones, and they're tough and they're strong. But Brother Branham said, they got little feathers on their hands, and you know, you still don't want to get hit by them, but he's telling you the difference.
Yeah.
The difference. Yes, they're big, they're strong, they're tough, but they're not like that.
That's right.
They're not like that anymore. No, they're padded up, and they're, and now when they hit somebody, it can kill them, gives them a concussion. That's why Brother Branham said the bride is not a hot house plant.
That's right.
She's original.
Yes.
And said she can take it. She's tough. You don't have to baby her and pet her. She's rugged.
Amen.
Not a hybrid.
Not a hybrid. She's not a hybrid. She's original. Romans 4:16, we find that God has given a sure promise to all of Abraham's seed. And Paul puts himself and all believers under that designation because he says, Abraham, who is the father of us all. Then he goes on to not only narrow down his definition, but rather to finalize it. For in Galatians 3, he identified the seed singular with Jesus and counted the seed children as children of the promise. And promise as having to do with the election or the choosing of God. Who chooses? Who's doing the choosing? God's doing the choosing.
Amen.
That's right. And that is exactly what we've been saying. Those who are of the royal seed are the elect of God, are the predestinated. Which seed is he talking about? The royal seed. He's not talking about the natural seed. He's not talking about those that come off under the law. He's not talking about those that come under anything else. Any corruptible seed, he's talking about that that's coming under the promise of God.
Amen.
So watch where he goes. The royal seed are the elect of God, are the predestinated, foreknown of God, and were in the mind of God and his thoughts. In very plain language. Now, that's the way I like it. In plain language. See, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally. So then there was never a chance. This is it right here. There was never a time. There was never a chance. There was never a possibility.
That's right.
That the predestinated seed was going to be lost.
Amen.
There was not a time. There was not a place. He was already a savior before anything was lost. He was already a healer before anything was sick.
Amen.
Already. Eternal in his mind. If you can see that, you will see many things.
Yes.
That's right. That's why you, when you're talking about the soul, you're talking about the nature of God. God's nature doesn't have a beginning and ending.
Amen.
It doesn't. God is eternal. When he was the eternal spirit, his nature was the same as it is today. It hasn't changed. God's nature doesn't change. In essence, Brother Adam said he doesn't change in essence. At all. He doesn't change. He is the same. Let's read it again. In very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally. And though not expressed until each came forth in the designated decreed season. As each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Amen. He was building a body. And it was a word body. And a little bit of word came through Moses. And a little bit of word came through Jeremiah. That was the foundation. And then came Jesus Christ. And then that body began to build and build and build. Until the cap, in this day, in the bride, the cap came on the body. The head, that's the capstone, came to the body. And it began to manifest the full body. It began to now reproduce or multiply, to multiply him, himself. As each member came forth, it became expressed, took its place in the body. Thus, the bride, this bride, is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she's feminine in designation, she is also called the body of Christ. And it is very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated in him. Huh? She was predestinated in him and came from the same source and was eternal with him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
That's what did he say? In very plain language.
Yes.
This is the plain language. This is not watered down for those you're trying to make it easy for them to swallow. You like you do a baby. That's what you do. You water it down. You don't give your baby this 100% juice. You buy these things 100% grape juice. You water it down. It's better for them. They get more benefit from it. Just water. No, everything else. Start with 100%. If you start with 100%, you got good, strong stuff. It's very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated with him and came from the same source and was eternal with him and is now manifesting God in a many-membered body. Whereas once, God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? And now, what is it? Why did the seed go into the ground? Why did it have to be a fall? The seed had to go in the ground.
Right.
So when you put a seed in the ground, you are expecting it to come back in a multiplied
Absolutely.
Version. You're expecting it to come back to multiply and multiply. Now, here we are coming to a conclusion, and I am too. I mean, I know it's my time's up, but just here we're coming to a conclusion. As the eternal Logos, God, was manifest in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh, and thereby gained the title of Son. Even so, we, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn, became the many-membered, spoken word seed, manifest in flesh.
Amen.
That's you.
Yep.
That's you. And those eternal thoughts, now manifest in flesh, are the sons of God, even as we are so called. And we did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. And therefore we're reborn. For only the elect can be reborn.
Amen.
Huh?
That's right.
Only the elect. Only the seed. If there's no seed there, there's nothing there.
Amen.
See? Because we were seed is the reason we can be quickened. Is the reason. See? In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. That's right. And hold this carefully in mind. And take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner. By his death, the shed blood brought back his own. And this also, Brother Gumba, a few days ago you posted and brought the same thought that redeem means to buy back. It restores. You redeem You're not redeeming something when you go to the store and you buy something brand new. That is not redemption. That is purchasing. That is buying something that you didn't have or never have. You're going to buy something. But redemption is something like the pawn shop where you take it and they give you some money or something and they hold it until you come and redeem it. That's redemption. So that means you once had it, now you don't, but for the purchase price, you can get it back. And that's exactly what Christ did. We came to the pawn shop, and Christ came and paid the price.
Amen.
Then he sent his Spirit to start finding those seeds that he redeemed. And that's why in this day, he's claiming those seeds. And so he had to call all of it back in this day, all of it, all the way down. Hold this carefully in mind and take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to the original owner, God, by his death. The shed blood brought back his own. He brought back the spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice, word, and they follow. You always were a sheep. You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That's impossible, for every kind of life produces the same kind. And there's no change in species. Boy, we could spend a lot of time on that right there. So when that prophet is tearing down in that marriage and divorce, and he's showing us what it's become, he's not talking about the bride. Because she never was a pig. She never was any of that. She was an eternal thought. She was the spoken word seed bride. And my sheep hear my voice, my word, and they follow me. You always were a sheep. You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That's impossible. For every kind of life produces the same kind, and there's no change in species. So, Adam, does this apply to Adam?
Amen.
Huh? This has to apply to Adam too.
Yes.
There's no change. There's no change.
Amen.
As we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh, there had to come a day when we would hear his voice, the word, and hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us and recognize that we are the sons of God. We heard his voice. We cried out as did the prodigal son. Save me, oh my Father, I'm returning to thee.
Amen.
A son of God can go a long time before he recognizes he's the son of God. That's right. And I'm going to stop right there. He goes on to the eagle. And we know the eagle story. And we know that you're eagles.
Amen.
And that mother knew how many eggs she had. And God knows how many seed he had. And he's not going to forget one. He's not going to miss one. He's not going to leave one. But he's going to get every one of them. And he sent his word. He sent his spirit. And that word and that spirit is in already quickened seeds. And those that are quickened are continuing to speak it and speak it and speak it. And more seed is coming. And more seed is recognizing that they're sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Goomba to come, and he can dismiss us in prayer, speak to us, sing a song, whatever's on his heart. Amen. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much. God bless you. I'm not preaching. I didn't come to my airport to preach. But there are 2 points that I would like to say to you. One is that, thank you very much, Brother Don. That was that was great. And I'm sorry I was late this morning because I got caught up in that search of those quotes that I had, and I'm feeling like I should have done that, because they should listen to this. They should listen to this.
Yes, what?
I will not post them because you said them now. What I was searching you. Not exactly the way you have, but most of the quotes that people, I was to post them. I was to post those things, I don't need to post them now. People can just listen to what you said. It's marvelous. Wider than I would have done.
Still good for you to put on the group.
I don't think I will put on the group now. I mean, that's what I was really doing that this morning, and I'm sorry for you. But this is the truth. This is plain. There's nothing to argue about. Praise be to God. And I'm sorry. That is why I was late. And my wife kept on saying, "You were getting late." But I said, let me just get one more like that. and that's why I'm sorry about that. I also want to apologize because of the... there's something that I posted. I should not have posted that. There's a piece of... In the group, in the faith group. I don't know how it came there. It was about a brother that we are looking. We are looking for some information about some brothers in West Pokot. And I didn't want to know this. I was posting it to Brother Don because we were talking about it. And then it went there. I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry about that. And I thought I would delete it. And then I said, even if now I delete it, everyone has read. So I'm just going to leave it there. But I apologize down there, and I'm sorry, I should not have done that. It's nothing private, but that was between me and Dawn, looking for a certain brother. Brother Megan wanted that brother to know about those people, and I'm sorry. I didn't even want Benjamin to know that we are looking for that and how far you go. But that's okay, that's all right. And I'm very happy that Brother Benjamin now is simply maybe reached where in Doha and things like that. So I'm very thankful to the Lord. I'll say this. I don't have said it, and I would say it, say it again. I don't know who is listening, who is not listening, but when it comes to something that is not agreeable, that maybe somebody has a question here, somebody has a question here. I need my wordings. Brother Don is saying that most of the times it's because of the way I'm wording it, because of the way the other brother is wording it. Now, the wordings sometimes correct Brother Don. When it comes to that, let's leave my wording. Leave your wording. Let's come to the wording of the prophet.
Amen.
That's the way I see it. Let's leave my wording. You know, even the prophet worded, like you can go search as a quote from the Bible, the way the prophet said it, and you find that the prophet worded it completely different, but he didn't change the meaning. You know that? So there's nothing wrong with the wording. But when it comes to, we are now not seeing the way Don is saying something, this other brother is saying something, I'm saying, let me leave my wording. Leave your wording, brother. Let's come to the wording of the prophet. Let's just say it the way he said it, and we leave it there. I think that's very good, and that is one of the things, Brother Don, that I feel like I would like to say that you said it very well. Sometimes it's just wordings, because I have my own way of wording it. Don has his own way of wording it. Brother Michael has his own way of wording it. That's okay, if you're not changing the meaning, that's okay. But when it comes to why are you saying like that? Let's leave it there, and let's just hear what the prophet says.
Yeah.
Well, that cancels everything. That stops every argument. And that, I think that's good. Now, another thing that I wanted to say, because Don has repeated it today, and he said it last time, eternal separation from God. I feel like, I'm not preaching, but I feel like that is very important to make it clear. How can you be eternally separated? Separation and eternal does not go together. It does not go together because it seems like eternal is something that didn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end. Right? Now, how are you then separated from God eternally? Mm-hmm. It looks like you are with God at some point, and then you. What it is eternal separation means this. There was no time that you are with God.
That's right.
Even now that we think you are with God, and it looks like you are with God, you are not with God.
That's right.
And you never be with God. That's what it means. You never be. That's why you are eternally separated. You never was, you never are, and you never will be. You never be. There's no way that you'll be with God. But you can come like Judas, and he looks like they're with God, and he loves God. No, they have never been with God. They have never been. This is just something that you see with our own eyes. His heart has never been with God. There's no way that that seed was there. There was no seed there. And there will be no seed there forever. And, I mean, like that. Okay. That's one thing that I wanted, I wanted to say. That's why I carried this so that I just see those points. Okay. And I think that's all. Now I can go to prayer. And thank you very much for Don. There's a very big argument. If you get to the group, and there's nothing wrong in getting to those groups. There's nothing wrong. We are not, this is not private job, you know, like Don's company. No. This is God's company. It's called the message of the hour. There's nothing wrong in hearing what other brothers are saying. There's nothing wrong. Sometimes we prevent sisters from those arguments. There's nothing wrong. If you're strong enough, get there. But when you're strong enough. Because brothers there will say anything. You know, there are people who don't, they just say anything. But they're saying the word, how they say it in the word. So just get there, look at it, and see where the arguments are coming. But this argument about free moral agency has really got into my nerves. I'm sorry. It's really got into my nerves.
Amen.
Because how can you say, because Brother Don, the covenants that people are talking about in the free moral agency is the same to me. It's the same to me. It's, you're given a free moral agency to choose. You choose what is good, like that. But now, it's God who gives that free moral agency. It's God who gives it. But the same God put that seed in you that you cannot choose nothing else. Do you get that?
Amen, amen.
So it's actually God who chose what you want, because he's the one who put that thing that wants this God.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean, Sister
yeah.
Esther?
Amen.
It's God who put that seed in you for God to want him, for you to want him.
Yeah.
So there's nothing you can do. You can only choose that. There's another guy here who God did not put anything in it. That's what I'm saying. When you say it's that free moral agency that is going to control you, you can choose God or not choose God. And when he chooses God, that's putting God away from you. It's you. You can do whatever you can. I can decide. I don't want God. Do you know something else? Even if I decided I don't want God, and I told you I don't want God, because there are people who can say that. I can say that. I don't want God. I don't want God. It's just my mouth running.
That's right.
I'm just running my mouth. If that seed is there, God is going to grab me.
Yes.
Because Jesus Christ said, all that the Father has given me, none have I lost. So I can run my mouth here, how I don't want God, how I hate God. That's nonsense. That doesn't make any sense. Because finally, God will grab me and bring him to himself. Is that right? Because it's God does it. And God does not lose his own. I mean, so don't bring this free moral agency like it's a power. Like it's a power that takes you to hell and takes you to God. There's nothing like that in the free moral agency. It was just given so that God, you cannot accuse God. You cannot accuse God and say, why did you take me to hell? God will tell you, I'm just saying that. Like keep in mind that. Why did you take me to hell? Like Kai, and you know, Brother John, we say, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. We can also say many things. We can also say, Abel have I loved, Cain have I hated.
That's right.
We can say that. But you see what Cain is doing? God is coming down. Cain, look. Cain, look. Do what he's doing. But here, even if God tells him, do, can you see? And he, Cain. Come, let's look here. Let's see, it's Michael. Michael is sacrificing over there, and Cain said, Cain, look. Do you see what Michael is doing? Just look at it. And they stayed there, maybe with God, to see what Abel is doing. And Abel gets the lamp, and he slaughters it. Do you see it? Do step by step, right? Right now. Step one, he gets that. Step two, do you see it? Now, God do it. Cain, God, I've never seen it. God do it. When Cain goes, he gets the fruits of the mangoes, and God can come. Did you see him with mangoes? No, but I'm here feeling here. This is what I want. I want mangoes. There's nothing he can do. There's nothing Cain can
do. He's choosing according to what God saw him do before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
But now, when the fire comes, in the lake of fire, Cain comes up. Because Cain will come up. Abel will come up. And they're going back there. And God and Cain can turn around and say, "Oh God, God, why are you burning me? And it's you who did who did this." Cain, I came and I showed you. What are you doing? You chose to refuse me.
Amen.
The three more agencies for that. For God is a good judge. He gave them that judgment. But all in all, God is controlling it all. And there's nothing wrong. And if Cain goes further to tell him, "No, but you're not predestinated me," God will tell him, "Yes, I had not. Because I, God, you are a pot. And Abel is a pot. And all these two are my pots. I made one to make it to take it to the lake of fire. I made the other one to take it for my use."
Yeah.
It's God. And if Cain argues a bit, they say, "Hey, nay, man, how can you argue with God? I'm God, I'm the potter, I'm the one with me who made those pots." You kind. You had your fruits. One fruit, you can cut it. Another fruit, you might put it in your pocket. You did whatever you wanted in your fruit. Why do you now tell me not to do whatever I want with my pots that I'm making? Okay, let's put it now. But you can see, it's simple. It's simple. It's very simple. But when you complicate it with words, this words, it's going to take you further. Now wait for this. Let's pray. Father, we can't thank you enough, Lord. When it opens, the way it does, Lord. When it's so plain, Lord, that we can see it, Lord. We know there was a time that it was dark. We didn't know it, Lord. And we look at it, Father, that time and this time, and we just want to thank you when you open it that you've done. We are so thankful for that. But Lord, again, we know that when much is given to somebody, then much is required of that somebody. And we know that, Lord, much surrendering, much giving ourselves to you, much, Lord God, serving you is required of us. Help us. We commit ourselves to you. Forgive our shortcomings, Lord. Let's just lay on your laps as our prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know I've taken a bit of time after preaching, and I'm sorry about that.